You know, in our series now, this is our ninth and last lesson, and I don't want to hear any amens about that. But we've been examining our spiritual wellness in regards to how we serve one another, and especially how we serve our great God. And our checkup has included how we care and share for one another, how we have talked to one another and in the world, what our hope is like, how our hope is, how we hear, and how we read, and how we pray, and how we sing. And last week we talked about how well do we give. This week, in our final lesson in this series, we're going to examine the matter of loving. And it's such an important issue that we're underlining everything else that we've studied with this one lesson. And so Jesus, you know, as was read in your hearing this morning, he taught very much about the idea of loving and the matter of loving. And certainly he taught about the love of God and the necessity to have a love for God, and not just a part of a love, but all your love, because he's talking about all your mind and all your soul with all your strength. And he also sums it up by saying, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love is without a doubt a major theme taught all throughout the New Testament Bible and the Old Testament Bible. And Jesus did teach many things related to this love. And our question today is, how well do you love? And so we ask this question, and we want to begin by noting that there are certainly different kinds of love. We've kind of kept this theme throughout all these lessons, and we talked about the different kinds of hope and the different kinds of prayers and so on. And then now we're talking about the different kinds of lovers, lovers of God. And of course, one of those is the kind of people who must be loved first. And when we think about this, the people who love, but only in response to love that is shown to them. And this is contrary to the teaching of our Lord and our Savior. Jesus suffered and died for all those who, to reconcile them to God through the death of himself on the cross, that we might be saved by his life, Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. And this same Jesus taught us to love our enemies. He taught us to bless those who curse us. That doesn't sound like a worldly love to me, to do good to those who hate us, and to pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us, Matthew chapter 5. In verse 44, this is what Jesus teaches. But often when we think about this, the people who love only in response to the love shown towards them, they tend to be persons willing to love. But often they turn away from those who truly love them the most, because that person didn't take the initiative. It's hard to talk sometimes about personal issues with a person that has this character trait, because they're often insecure, even on simple spiritual things, shrouded in instability that causes them to just float away from anything that is confrontational or from the rock-solid relationships that can be formed in the spirit of truth. Often because they're easily hurt by insignificant moments or insignificant words or comments. And as we go down the list, the proof is seen in the practice of turning away quickly from anyone who offends, from even the brethren. Feelings, they play a great role in this kind of an individual. And since truth is often very painful, it is really hard to speak the truth even in love. That a person may grow up spiritually in that personal relationship. And we know that this kind of love like men's wisdom. It comes from the heart of man. It does not come from the Father of lights above. It does not. It's not a wisdom that comes from above, but an earthly wisdom. And we know by the Spirit of truth, this is, it's not the love of God. It's not the kind of love that God demonstrated. When we remember that Jesus, He died for the enemies of the cross. He died for everyone while we were still yet in our sins. And Jesus still loved us. But sadly, many base their relationships with one another on this kind of love. So we must ask, am I the kind of person that is easily offended by what other people say? Am I a person that even when the truth is presented to me, I just can't love another person unless I feel a love first from that person? Secondly, those who are loved in return. And this is pretty simple. Some may take the initiative, but continue their love only when it's reciprocated. This is the kind of person that will step out and they'll say, I love you. But if you don't say I love you back, they're done with you. And there are people that have this kind of a mindset. Jesus observed this very thing when you think about what he said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 32. He said, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And you think about that and put that in perspective of how we think of ourselves. Are we the kind of person that I'll love you, but only if you love me back? Or are we the kind of person that God wants us to be? And we love anyone and everyone as a human being, as a soul that belongs to God ultimately. Regardless of how that person loves us or doesn't love us. Because that's a godly example of love. Many only show love if it's a two-way street. There has to be reciprocation. And that is an easy way to love. But you know what? The truth is, it's not always like that. Sometimes you have to love somebody so much that even when they seem to, like in Jesus' case, they spit in his face. They scourged him, they hit him, they mocked him, but he still loved them back. We need to be that kind of person. And then, of course, there's those who love regardless. And this is the great example. Those who take the initiative and they persist in loving others, even when that love is not reciprocated. Jesus commanded this kind of love. And again, in Luke chapter 6, 35, he said that you love your enemies, you do good, hoping for nothing in return. Lend and hope for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. You know, Jesus condemned the kind of love that you don't get anything in return, you walk away. But he commended the kind of love that he exemplified with his own life. In this text, he says, you do good, you hope for nothing in return. He said, you lend, hoping for nothing in return. You consider the benefit of this kind of love, being the child of the Most High God. Jesus didn't command us to do anything that He Himself wouldn't do. For He is the kind, He Himself is kind to the unthankful. He Himself was kind even to those who practiced evil. And so when we think of this, think about how some people treat their dog. Think about that. I have a dog, and I love my dog. And when I open that door, she's right there at the door, her tail wagging, and she just loves me to death. But you know that there have been times when she gets in your way, and you step on her, and she'll scream a bloody murder. But then she gets up, and wags. She doesn't bite me. She gets up and she wags her tail right away and she acts like she did something wrong. She's asking me forgiveness and I stepped on her. We need to be like the dogs. We need to love people regardless of what they do to us. We need to love people regardless of how they treat us. And I know there are people out there in the world who lead their dogs out in 10 below zero weather in the wintertime, who don't make sure that they have food and water on a regular basis. They let them get flea bitten and covered with ticks and sores. And when they walk up to that dog with ticks and sores is wagging its tail, so happy to see them. We need to be like the dogs in that sense. And of course, that's just an illustration, because what we really need to be like is Jesus. Because you think about how that takes place. We take it one step further, the love of God towards us. And make no mistake, I want to, each one of us, we have to make a personal example, or examination rather, of ourselves. Jesus was crucified. He was criticized with harsh words. Malachi 3 and 13. He was mocked, Matthew 27, 29 and verse 31. He was laughed at, Luke 8, 53. And not only was he laughed at, but he was made fun of in Mark chapter 14 and verse 65. They did all this to Jesus. They lied about him in Matthew 26 and 59. Not only did they lie about Jesus, but they hated him. John 15 and verse 18. They hated him. They scourged him. John 19 and 1. They crucified him on a cross. Matthew 27 and 31. And Acts chapter 5 and verse 30. They crucified him. They murdered him. And still he died loving them. We need to examine ourselves when it comes to the issue of love. We cannot be that kind of person that walks away from someone who loves them simply because they said something wrong. My absolute best friend, the only friend I had in all the years of high school and junior high, one day I would always go to his house. We were always doing things together. We went through Boy Scouts together. And I loved him in the way that I knew how. But one day I went to his house, as was my practice. Unannounced, I knocked on the door. Jimmy opened the door. And Jimmy said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I came to visit with you." And he says, "Do me a favor. Call next time before you come. I have company." Now, I wasn't a Christian then. But you know what I did? I walked off that porch, got in my car, drove away, and I never talked to Jimmy again. Because I got hurt. That's not the way we need to be, is it? And I've tried to talk to him since, but it does no good. You know, if we're to be called the children of the Most High God, we must be a people who love regardless of what hurts us. We must look beyond the hurt to the soul that we feel hurt us. We got to look beyond what other people say. And we need to be like him. As a preacher, I've had many experiences in my own life where people have said some pretty nasty things about me, treated me in terrible ways, but you know, I love them to death. Or I love them to life. And we need to be like that. The biggest, greatest advice I was ever given by a preacher when I started preaching was, have thick skin. Just have thick skin. Don't let the stuff roll off of you and don't get upset over it. That's the way we need to be. It's rare among most people, but it's required of the disciples of Christ. It's required of the church. And listen, that's how you'll know if we're truly the children of the Father, because we're going to be known by our love. And this demands that we ask a question. Why would Jesus demand that we love others regardless even of them being our enemies? Regardless of how they treat us, regardless of what they say about us, regardless of their unloving attitudes that we feel, we are the children of God. So we ask the question, does that describe me? And if it does, keep growing. And if it doesn't, start changing. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit of God through the grace of God to do just that. Now we turn and we think about what the Scriptures say on the subject of how important it is and how proper loving should be. The greatest commandment, he says, as we saw earlier in the two passages of Matthew, the two greatest commands of the law. You know, as Paul, he wrote often, loving your neighbor fulfills the law. In Matthew, Romans, chapter 13, beginning in verse 8, he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. Listen, you can't love your spouse and commit adultery. You certainly, love has no part in murder. You can't steal or bear false witness or covet what your neighbor has or claim to love them and then turn around and hurt them. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, Paul wrote in Galatians 5 and 14. It should go without saying, we must love the brother and we must love one another. 1 John 3 and 16. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34 and verse 35. We know that we're His. We know we're His if we love one another. And it's also true that we know the opposite if we don't practice great godly love for one another. And again, godly love is a sacrificial love. It's a love of service and a love of obedience. In James chapter 2 and verse 8, James describes it as the royal law. He says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, you do well. Nothing surpasses love when it comes to the obeying God. And for this kind of love, we think of it's a mark of spirituality. We have passed from life to death according to 1 John 3 and 14. We know that we've passed from life to death. Why? Because we love the brethren. That's how you know. He goes on to tell us that if you don't have love for the brethren, then you abide in death. How important is loving properly? Very serious that members love one another. We can't let ourselves be separated by anything. You know, someone says something that is untrue and it hurts your feelings. Ask yourself, what did Jesus do? Didn't He have feelings? Was He not fully man and fully God? Does not God have feelings? Does not God be hurt by what man has done? Isn't He grieved by the sin of man? But we got to remember, what did He do? So what if somebody says something that's based in truth and it hurts our feelings? Something that's completely true, but it hurts our feelings. What did Jesus teach you? What should you do? Luke 13 and 3, repent. Right? A godly sorrow for sin that leads to a change of mind or heart toward God. Don't be sorrowful like this world that leads to death, but repent. Change. Does Jesus teach that we should hate them? That we should leave them? We should be bitter to them? We think about all these texts. You know, Paul, writing by inspiration, he told us to let nothing of bitterness, no wrath, nor anger, or malice, or clamor, or evil speaking. Put it all away. Pursue peace. That's what Paul taught us. That we're born of God. one of the marks of true spirituality when it comes to us being a loving person is that we're born of God. That's what we read in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, if we love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who is born of God knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Think about that. And still another evidence of spirituality is that we're the disciples of Christ. We're followers of Christ. Remember, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's complete. Sacrificial love. Obedient love. A love of servitude. Jesus came down to heaven to serve, not to be served. He came down to heaven and obeyed the Father, not His own will. Think about that. And He came down to heaven as a sacrifice for those who didn't love Him, for those who were enemies, yet still in their sins. And nothing will hold us together more than the Spirit of love. Nothing. And we all know that's right. When you build something new, it's glue that holds it together, right? We all know what glue is. When something is broken, we use glue to repair it and bring those damaged parts back together again. We reunite them with the glue. So let's consider that love, and I mean the love that God demonstrated and the love He requires of each of us, that's the glue of our relationship. Friends depend on love. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1, you think about what is being said there, what is happening there. The great contrast in the glue of love that is used and when it's not used. You know, after speaking to his father, Jonathan, he goes off. He's speaking to his father, Saul, and he goes off. And the scriptures tell us the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him like his own soul. Listen, that carried on through the scriptures, didn't it? We know that even when Saul persecuted David to the hilt, Jonathan was always there to try to help. He was always there to try to rescue. He was always there to try to protect. He always spoke good on David's behalf. And when you read 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6 through 11, we see that David returns after defeating Goliath. And the women, they come out of the cities and they're all singing out, crying out. And they're dancing. And listen, when they did that, the scripture tells us it was to meet King Saul. Not to meet David. And they sang and they danced. And they said, Saul has slain his thousands. And David his 10,000s. And all of a sudden, Saul's feelings are hurt. He becomes jealous. He becomes angry. Saul is now worried that David has got something in his mind. He's making these thoughts up in his head that are not true. But David's against me. David did something wrong. David hates me. David wants to kill me. He wants to take my kingdom. And get this. I want you to see this. It's very important. That at the end of that text it says, Saul eyed David from that day forward. When we let bitterness and anger and clamor get between us, then we start eyeing that person from that day forward in a negative light. We need the glue of God's great love to bring us back together. Because you read Samuel 18 all the way through 24, and Samuel, David's being pursued by Saul. He's killing priests and people trying to get David. And then David, in a cave, proves his great love for Saul in a godly way. And that glue brought him and Saul back together again. We need to do that. We don't want to be a person who has an eye on somebody with a heart of depression or a heart of insincerity or a heart of unlovingness. Families depend on love. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Love your wives as your own body. Wives are to love their husbands and love their children. We're held together by love. And the church, of course, above all, is held together and depends on the glue of love. You know, think about what Paul says. We have to put on love. We have to wear love like our garment of clothing that covers us and protects us. And it makes us presentable. It keeps us warm. Nothing's worse than cold love. Because why? Notice, what did Paul say? Because it's the bond of perfection. It's the bond of perfection. Nothing beats love. Nothing binds people together in a more powerful way. And since the right kind of love is so important in our relationships with God, with the brethren and others, how can we excel in this most excellent virtue? The answer is really quite clear. We need to become better lovers. Better lovers of God and better lovers of one another. And so we let God be our teacher. Like the Thessalonians who were taught in 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote, concerning brotherly love, I have no need that I should teach you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so towards all the brethren, Paul said. Wouldn't it be awesome that somebody writes a letter about the members of this body? Boy, you don't need to teach them about love. They're taught of God. And God loves by giving that which is most precious to Him. We know that, for God so loved the world. And so we need to be clear about this. We who are mature in the faith, we need to understand this one thing. In John 1, verses 1 and 2, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was, the same was in the beginning with God. We need to be clear. God, in the form of man, came down from glory. In verse 14, He came down to mankind, whom He loved. He came out of that comfortable, relaxing, peaceful place because of His deep love for you and me. God loves before He was loved. He manifested His love towards us even before the foundation of the world. God demonstrated His own love towards us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Let the Master, Jesus, teach you. He loved us, right? 34 of John. He said, a commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this. What happens? Greater love? He lays down His life. We need to love. Paul encourages us to emulate Christ's love also. He said, be therefore imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also has loved, giving Himself as an offering, a sacrifice, a sweet-smelling aroma. He loved the church, and He gave Himself for her. Shouldn't we also do the same? And we have one more great teacher, a guide in this matter, and that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. It teaches us through Paul. He writes of the necessity of love. When you go through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're not going to read everything, but listen, if you don't have love, you're just a sounding brass, aren't you? Love suffers. it's kind, it doesn't envy, it doesn't parade itself, does it? In verse 9, we know in part that we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part is done away. We're no longer speaking like children, but we're mature. We put away the childish things. And in verse 13, and now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. We need to pursue love. And so we must let God our Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit of God through the Word instruct us when it comes to love. Who taught the meaning of love? God did through the Holy Spirit. Who taught the permanency of love? God did through the Holy Spirit. Who taught the preeminence of love? God did through the Holy Spirit. Who can deny the importance of love? That it's has a great deal to do with our spiritual well-being. It's the evidence of spiritual regeneration. It's necessary for spiritual happiness, and it's a commandment of the Lord. And let us therefore make sure that our love is not carnal, self-centered, but is spiritual, God the Father-centered, Jesus the Master-centered, and the Holy Spirit of the Word-centered. You know, the best way we can ensure this is in our lives is true is to just simply love as Jesus loved. Pretty simple. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, what did Paul say? Therefore, be imitators of God, dear children. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us. And speaking about Jesus, you know, because of His love for the Father, Jesus was obedient to the Father, doing all that He commanded. Jesus was baptized to fulfill the Scriptures. And Jesus was taken up in glory, all because His love the Father first. And my question to all of you today is, do you love the Father above? I hope you do. You know, over the years I've met so many people who have a kind of love for Jesus that it's comparable to the Jews that Paul spoke about in Romans 10 and 2, who had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Truly, their love is sincere for Jesus. But it's also sincerely wrong. Many have their hearts in the right place, but their spirit is not according to knowledge. And I want to just share a few thoughts from the Master Himself, Jesus, concerning love, His kind of love. And I want you to take careful notice of the words that are read. And when I say read, I mean read, in red. Because these are direct quotes from the Master, direct quotes from Jesus. Jesus is the one who said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love Jesus, are you keeping His commandments? He's the one who said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say? Let's listen to some things that Jesus said concerning our salvation. Jesus said, therefore, everyone who has heard, learned from the Father comes to me. We have to hear the gospel. Jesus said that if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. We have to believe that Jesus is He, that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus says, unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Luke 13 and 3. So we must repent. Jesus also said, whoever confesses me before the Father, I will likewise confess him also before my Father. Or confesses me before men, I will also likewise confess him before my Father who is in heaven. We must confess Jesus, the Christ, before men. These are all words that Jesus spoke. They're not made up by man. It's not my doctrine, it's His doctrine concerning our salvation. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He didn't say he who believes shall be saved. He said he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And for those who have done these things, he also tells us we must remain faithful until death in order to receive the crown of life. Would you let the goodness of God the Father lead you to repentance this day, as Paul wrote in Romans 2 and 4? Will you do that this day? You've heard the gospel. You know what must be done. If you haven't done so, the invitation is for you this very day. The water is ready. Everything has been prepared. If you've fallen away or if you've sinned against anyone in any way, shape, or form as a Christian, you know you must repent. You must make that right before God. And if it's a public thing, you must make it right before that form of the public. Do you have a need this day? We're going to come forward today as we sing song number 478. I invite you now as we stand and as we sing.